Gerald, you're hearing an English accent here. Can you hear me?
I can.
My name is Bill Ryan. I apologize for my accent. I hope that a New Yorker can understand it.
Well, if you could understand the Bronx accent,
Well, it'll make my colleague Kerry feel a little bit more at home because she spent some time in New York many years ago, I think. Kerry, do you want to say hi to Gerald?
Hello, Gerald. We're Kerry Cassidy and Bill Ryan from Project Camelot. I don't imagine you're familiar with our website, but we interview whistleblowers from black projects, and we're interested in disclosure in all areas of secrecy, including the economy.
Well, that's not so secret.
Well, some of the machinations behind the scenes appear to be quite secret. And maybe you can illuminate us as to what is really going on there.
Well, right now they're talking about a recovery, an economic recovery. There's no such thing. It's a cover-up. And they're doing it globally. The governments are printing phantom money out of thin air, and they're juicing up the economies with stimulus programs, rescue packages, bailout schemes, buyouts. But it's not really addressing the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is that everyone's over-borrowed and overspent, and now the system is collapsing. It's as simple as that.
I'd like to ask you, Gerald, as the editor of Trends Journal, you have a remarkable track record of accuracy. I first came across your work personally, and it was a little late in the day, but I listened to your interview with Linda Moulton Howe that I think she published at the start of last year, I believe it was, and I've been following you closely since then, mainly on Jeff Rentz. We'd like to give you a good plug there, because every time you come on his show, you give very good value. And you've been probably the most reliable update for many people about what they can expect to hit them personally in their lives. And now you probably have more requests for that kind of information than you ever had before. What can you give us as a summary of what may be going down in the next couple of months? What do you know and what do you suspect?
What we believe is that we're going to see a financial collapse that's dwarfed the meltdown this past March. Again, you can't print phantom money out of thin air backwiring practically nothing, as they're doing back here in the States and other countries as well. Of course, China has a stimulus package, Australia, but they don't have budget deficits that the U.S. has. We have $14 trillion worth of consumer debt. We're looking at about $12 trillion worth of government debt. Now they're talking about a stimulus program. So current events form future. Look what the U.S. dollar now is doing against euro and other key currencies. It's down about 16% on the year. And you look at gold prices, they're up by 1,050 approximately U.S. dollars. So that's really telling the story. The whole world is bailing out of problems. The greatest depression is on the doorstep. If you listen to these people that are telling you, hey, knock yourself out. Track record. How about the feds here? That one guy out there, Big Steve Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve System, he's saying that, hey, recovery's on the way. Well, let's go and look at his track record. By the way, don't know them. November 2007. What the fuck? Declare recession. He says, we're not going into recession. Look it up, Google it. There. Go back to 2008. They're already in recession. He said the Federal Reserve does not see a recession in the future. Why would anybody believe these people? It's a cover-up. It's sucking in the people to give them the money into the banks, into the brokerage, and to bail out the big guys. It's as simple as that. They're fleecing people in every country. Bail out their buckies. Wall Street gang, financial criminals that produce nothing other than profits. And when they produce losses, we the people have to cover.
I'd like to ask you, Gerald, it was a very impassioned summary you gave there. Do you feel angry that not enough people are waking up and paying attention? Because you've been raising the alarm about this for a long time.
You know what I feel angry about? When I pay my taxes, I don't like giving them to Lloyd Blankfein, Jamie Dimon, or other of these Wall Street crooks. Listen, I'm of Italian descent, and I've heard enough mafia stories the rest of my life. I don't want to hear another one. Not until they start calling the Wall Street boys crooks and criminals, because if the people's names on Wall Street, when they Salenti, Caruso, Mondavi, Puccini, Rossini, Fellini, Butoni, boy, it would be the mafia. And every day, boy, Hollywood would be milking it. It'd be headline news, mafia rips off country. But because they're members of the White Shoe Club, oh no, you can't call them crooks and criminals. You have to call them America's brightest. And they don't do Ponzi schemes, or they don't do a pyramid scams, or loan sharking. Oh no no no, they do credit default swaps, auction rate securities, special investment vehicles. You know, when the loan sharks used to charge 12%, oh, the DAs used to break down the mafia. Look what they're holding up the people. Citigroup, Bank of America, Capital One, all these credit card companies, you're that much late on your credit card, wacko, they hit you with 30% interest rates. Oh, but that's just because of doing business. Wall Street has hijacked Washington. It's going on in every country. The financial mafia is in control. Let's call the spade a spade. Why are people bowing down to these criminals is beyond me. But my anger, my personal anger, is I work hard. I've had my ups and downs in my career. And I don't like giving my money to these criminal organizations. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely got it here. Now, and here, a lot of people here supporting you. There was a round of applause there in the audience. But here we are in Brussels, and just now you said this is happening in every country. The people here will want to know what's happening to the euro, or the euro, as they call it. Do you have any information about trends outside of the U.S. on a more global basis that you can tell these guys about?
Well, one thing we're surprised at, you thought the Irish had more common sense than they do in voting for the Lisbon Treaty. And then this whole notion of globalization and one great power having the wisdom to rule all is a fallacy. And for us to see, again, only we'll use first the U.S. model, we can use every model after that. This country was the entrepreneurial empire. We were the most egalitarian nation on earth. The envy of many people, and believe me, I know the problems we have here, beginning with the genocide of the Indians, and military incursions in sovereign countries. So I'm not papering over or glossing over anything. Civil rights, women's rights, a lot of terrible things. But there was one thing you could say about America. This was a place where you could make it. You could make it here by using your own wits and your own skill. The model that existed then was when we had Main Street was number one, not Wall Street. When we had mom-and-pop businesses, not Walmarts. When we had family farms, not factories. So the euro, when you're looking at Europe, look at the same model as well. So as we're looking at what's going on with the euro, there's going to be a time when we believe it's going to go the way of all fiat currency. It's not going to be worth the paper it's printed on. When you look at the euro from the beginning, when they had put the establishment regulations onto it and the guidelines, most of the countries have flown over those already in terms of debt, in terms of costs, and in terms of the future. It's not even close anymore. So the euro is, I'll tell you what I do personally. We don't give investment advice. I have my money split like cash between euros and dollars. To me, this is a time for wealth preservation. Because we believe the worst is yet to come, and you want to have yourself secure. So I'm half in euros, half in dollars. One goes up, the other goes down at this time. 80% of my money is the goal, and has been for a long, long time. Go to the Trench Journal, 2020, pick the bottom of the cold and put 75. So the Eurozone, the people are not going to suffer as badly as the Americans individually, because in this country, people don't know how to do anything basically on their own. I mean, look, we're the most obese country in the world. People are very government dependent, and they believe in hope and change. We believe, and I'm a political atheist. I don't believe in political fairy tales of anything. So the people here aren't prepared. Europeans know how to do more on their own. They have a different style, a different way of doing things, and also, they understand quality better than the Americans do, because quality is going to be the deciding factor of people who make it through the Greatest Depression. Average won't cut it.
That's pretty interesting, Gerald. I just want to ask you one question before I hand over to Kerry, and this is that your analysis of trends must cover much more than the economic. What's going to be happening politically and culturally, societally in America as the economic crunch hits over the next few months?
The Second American Revolution has begun. It began on April 15th when you saw these tax protests and tea parties. The second shot was fired on the 4th of July, appropriately. People rallied across the country against taxation without representation. Then we saw these town hall meetings where people were coming out against healthcare reform. It's not healthcare reform. Nobody's read the bill. It's 1,000 pages. People don't know what it's about. It's about a government that's incapable of doing anything, wanting to do more. And again, this isn't rhetoric. From Katrina quality rescue skills, from waging wars in foreign countries, fake reasons nonetheless, to rebuilding the World Trade Center, there's not one thing that they can accomplish. So the people were protesting again. Then we had a march on September 12th, a march on Washington against big government. The media is painting it as a right-wing, conservative, fringe element movement. Yes, there's part of that in it, but that's not it. As a Bronx boy, my saying is, when people lose everything and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And people are starting to lose it. They're losing their homes. They're losing their jobs. Only look at the facts. Effective unemployment in America. That means that people are out of work, no longer looking for work because they can't find any, off the unemployment rolls where they have part-time jobs. The effective rate now is at 17%. We're approaching Great Depression numbers. It's a song and dance going on over here, and the people are buying into hope. They're waiting for hope to show up at the front door with a bag full of money. We're going to see riots. Crime is going to escalate. The numbers don't lie. We have in major cities 50% of the kids not graduating high school. You look at the data, 1 out of 10 of those kids are either in jail or in detention. So the crime rate is going to grow as people become more homeless. The only way out of this that we can see is if there's an invention of something along the lines of the invention of fire or the wheel. And that may come in an alternative energy. It has to be a productive capacity. You can't get your way out of this in terms of monetary or fiscal stimulus. It's a game.
Gerald, I wonder if you can talk about the Peace Prize that Obama has just been given. Does that make any sense to you under the current situation?
Oh, yeah, what a peaceful man. Just sent 21,000 more troops to Afghanistan. Hey, that's peace. Oh, the beautiful Iraq war that's going on with all that inside. Oh, just terrific. Oh, the Palestinian-Israeli issue that they've had lockjaw on. Oh, yeah, peace all over the place. Oh, the Patriot Act, the one that takes all the rights away from the American people, gives the government the authority to throw you in jail, charge you with nothing, give you no legal representation, all under the guise that you may be a suspected terrorist. Peace Prize? Come on. Look, I mean, a whole group of criminals before him have gotten it besides, whether it's Shimon Peres, go down the list. It's a disgrace to people like Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, I okay. We've got to We've got several rounds of applause going on here. Well, I'm wondering if you actually look at the plot behind the scenes as to why they would want to take down America. Are you aware of the Illuminati and the powers that be? And do you go as far back as to what's going on with them and what their agenda truly is?
Well, if there's an Illuminati, they have the un-Illuminati running the show. Whether it's Bernanke, Geithner, Obama, Bush, Berlusconi, Larry, Moe, Curley, if any of the people don't know who the Three Stooges were in America. I mean, look at it. Is there a force back there that wants a different show? Absolutely. It's the G20. You see it all over. But they're scrambling, too. This crash that happened is way beyond what anybody ever planned, as we see it. It's gambling at its highest. It's going to Las Vegas. It's going to any of the gambling centers and placing big bets that can't be covered. We see the crash more as one of greed other than a planned unraveling. The United States, are they devaluing the dollar so they can pay back their loans cheaply? That may be a real reality. Are the Chinese and others that are holding all that paper going to like it? Hardly. So this is a big loss to everybody. When an empire the size of America collapses, and America's in collapse, the economic problems are only a small part of it. It hurts the whole world. Go back to the Roman Empire, a dark age in Western civilization followed. And when I say that America's in collapse, it's only, again, going by the facts. Look at OECD data, Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development data. America no longer wins places or shows in all of those areas we used to be number one in. Education, healthcare, lifestyle, quality of life, jobs, you name it. When America goes down, this is going to hurt the whole world. There's not going to be a winning year. And what we're concerned, what we're mostly concerned about, is that when these financial crooks fail again, their last resort, and they do it all the time, is they take you to war. And that's what we're concerned about the most, and look how easily people follow. Remember, Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda, the people were told. They rallied around the president. The nation went to war. They found out they never had those weapons. The country is still waging war against innocent people. So we're concerned, and the realities of why it began are distant memories. So we're concerned that the world leaders, when all else fails, they'll take the people to war.
Yes, we are seeing that, and we're getting information to that effect right now. I wonder if you're in touch with the militia movement in the U.S. at all.
We're not in touch with them. And as a matter of fact, we're writing about this in our Trends Journal in the autumn edition. It's just going out today. And we referenced the G20 meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, this past September. And anybody that thinks they're going to fight the federal government with arms, they're out of their mind. You know, you're not going to win. For this revolution to happen, it has to be one of minds, not guns. It has to be an intellectual revolution. That's the way we see it. And you've had velvet revolutions before, you've had violent ones. We prefer the velvet ones because the violent will be too destructive.
Okay, but do you happen to know that what's going on with the big pharma and this rollout of the vaccine across the United States happening at the same time that you have a economic downturn of immeasurable depth, and then simultaneously you have a possible move to war? Surely you can see some kind of agenda at work here.
Well, when we look at the swine flu, you know, this is a replay. This is, you know, they did this in 1976. And just for the record, I was stupid enough back then to get the vaccine. The only way I would get it now is with the barrel of a gun. And so it's really it's swine flu is a cash cow. It's more about money to us than agenda. And another way to frighten the people and put them under control. Could it be part of a bigger issue? We don't know. Would we put it past them? No. They, you know, read my lips, no new taxes. I mean, on and on. You know, they'll lie about anything. So it could be part of a bigger scheme. We don't know if it is or not. But as we look at it now, it's only about money.
So other than investing in gold, do you have any advice to give the American people and also the people of Europe that are sitting in this room?
Well, there aren't a lot of options right now. The areas where there's going to be growth or anything, of course, having to do with the alternative energies, but beyond wind, solar, geothermal, the biofuel, you know, the breakthroughs in coal fusion, charge clusters, permanent magnets, hydrogen power, the opportunities, everything having to do with health, particularly whole health healing. And along with that, taking survival measures, really preparing for the future. This is the time not to wait for anything to happen. It's a time to take action and move forward. It's a time to bring your biggest dreams to reality. And really, as we say in the States, swing for the fences. The other areas, of course, anything having to do with healthcare, but again, mostly in the natural fields. Another one, we don't believe in speculating in the stock markets or any of the equity markets. They're rigged games. What more proof do people need? You know, whether these flash tradings, inside deals, for us to be involved in those, you know, if you like to gamble, knock yourself out. The other areas, again, are understanding, as we believe, that with all of this terrible things happening, it could be a renaissance. Remember, the renaissance followed the Black Plague. Talk about the swine flu. And if there is a plague, it's the plague of thought that the most important thing in life is the bottom line. And that's what this whole world is becoming, a bottom line mentality, being invaded by bottom line companies like Walmart's and McDonald's and all these fast food chains. And the term chains is really appropriate because that's what it's doing to people. So for us to get out of this in the absence of any other movements is to remember that art is the way of finding the true meaning of the human spirit. And when you go around Europe, you see beauty through the eyes everywhere you go. And now when you go around America, you want to close your eyes to the ugliness of strip malls and chain stores and big box stores. So in order for us to proceed and progress as humans, we have to progress with art leading the way. And it's something that has been taken away from most of Western culture. And that's what we're saying that has to be done now. So this holiday season, if you're going to buy a gift to someone, buy it from a local artisan, someone living, not dead. Buy a craft. Don't buy a kit, a crummy plastic disposable toy, or a video game to warp their mind. Buy them something that's going to further their artistic sensitivities, because the whole world is being taken over by a bottom-line corporate culture. And for us to break free, our hearts have to break free. And that will free our souls, our minds, bring back our dignity and respect.
Thank you very much, Gerald. That's wise, very wise words. So I do have one more question, which is, why is the stock market going up? And can you talk about what's propping that market up?
Yeah, they dumped trillions of dollars into the system. I mean, look at the banks. They gave, in 2008, they gave the banks almost $200 billion. And then the executives of those financial institutions, well, I could call them casinos, the gamble, they rewarded themselves with $33 billion worth of bonuses in the States, bigger than the GDPs of many countries. Yeah, the stock market is going up because of all of this phony money being pumped into the system. Of course they can show profits. Everybody can. All these stimulus packages, buyout programs, cash for clunkers, you name it. Look what's going on in the U.S. You want to buy a new house, we'll give you an $8,000 tax break. Oh, don't worry about it. Have no money to put down? How about 3.5% is all the cash you need, backed by the government FHA. And now they're in trouble. Oh, by the way, we have something here called in the States FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Company. You know, they're guaranteeing the people's money up to $250,000 U.S. in the banks. Don't worry, that bank closes. Your money's guaranteed by the FDIC. The FDIC is virtually broke. They're asking the banks to loan them money from next year's fees to cover the current losses. We have 100 banks that have failed in the U.S. When we're telling people what to do and what to expect a bank holiday. Because when the financial crisis happens, that's what they're going to do. Like they do in Argentina and other countries that are overspent and their currencies are dying. Back in, they did in 2000. And they did it here in the U.S. in 1933. A bank holiday. I love the language. Holiday. You can't get your money out. And when they let you get it out, they'll give you a little bit at a time. But don't worry. It's insured by the FDIC. Hey, wait a minute. The FDIC is broke for all intents and purposes. So the markets are going up because they're juicing it with money and they're suckering in the little guys to play the game, and they call it a Ponzi scheme, or now we call it a Madoff scheme. They make off with your money.
Gerald, this is fabulous stuff. We're going to extract this as an audio and make sure that we stream this far and wide. I'm even going to get it transcribed in your name. It's a beautiful, impassioned speech you gave. I just have one last question myself, which may evoke an interesting response from you. That is that some people we know are planning to leave the country. This is American people planning to leave for other countries such as Australia, New Zealand, Ecuador, Argentina, Brazil. What is your view of people who are jumping ship? Are you a proud enough American that you would stay and fight to the bitter end, or would you possibly consider leaving yourself?
Now, let me make this really clear. You know, I'm Italian. I'm not going to die for us. You know, I'll put out the information out. And during the Bush years, we wrote in the Trench Journal, it wasn't safe to speak out. They came out and said that you're either for us or against us. Or you're with the terrorists if you speak out against the country. That was ruined my career. I was blackballed off people off major networks. Because we had forecast a month before the Iraq War started that the United States would achieve a swift battlefield victory and it would devolve into a guerrilla war. The quick battlefield victory was because of the massive might. And we kept going on and on. We predicted a 9/11 before it happened. USA Today, Google it up. December 14th, 2000. 2001 won't be our year, Trent Sears says. We said Americans would be safe at home or abroad. In the autumn edition of the Trench Journal coming out later today, one of the Trent posts, things to consider, we call them SHCs, Safe Haven Countries. And we're writing the Trench Journal as though you're living in 2012. And we write that in 2009, people were already making escape plans to safe haven countries. It may become a time here, the way things are going, that America may not be a safe place to live if the government continues to exert more and more control over people's everyday lives. It's a reality. Again, look what happened at the G20 meeting. In Pittsburgh. Did you see the photos of those stormtroopers? I mean, these baton-wheeling mutant ninja turtles with enough body armor on them to walk through the Battle of the Bulge unscathed, bludgeoning co-eds? I mean, this is what's going on over here. You know, I believe in this country. I make this very clear. I could never be the person I am today if I wasn't born here. You know, if I was born in Italy, I would have never had the freedom of thought. I would have been bound by a lot of the cultural norms and mores. You know, I love this country. It breaks my heart to see what happens. But I'm not going to take a bullet for it.
Okay. Well, we are wondering, I actually have two final questions, and I think we need to let you go then at that point. But one is, what are the safe haven countries? Are you aware of which ones? And the other question is, are you aware of the recent law that was passed to prevent Americans, expats, from getting their funds out of the country?
No, I'm not aware of that. But one of the things we've been recommending for a long time is people consider opening up foreign accounts, having dual passports. What are the safe countries? The places that I like the most, I love New Zealand. I think that's one of the more civilized places on the planet. Norway's a nice place. But what we see coming up in 2012, sounds, the beats of war drums reminiscent of World War II. We're going to go through very difficult times. Immigration is already a huge issue in Europe and the States. It's going to be huge. As we mentioned before, as countries decline, they take you to war. You know, Argentina might be a nice place. It's big enough to get away from a lot of the problems. Ecuador, as you mentioned. But if you go down there, you'll be with a lot of the big U.S. criminals that are also trying to escape down there. Costa Rica's been a big one for a long time.
Didn't the
so
Bushes,
there aren't that many places. Probably places in Africa are going to be good to go to as well, in the more stable areas. And so you're going to see a lot of Panama, a lot of money moving to Panama as well. Well, that's a big money-washing capital of the world anyway. So that's a good place for a lot of the criminal elites to settle down at. So people should be planning. I'll tell you a brief story. When 9/11 happened, and I've been writing about this for years, it was only a matter of time before America, and I know there is conspiracy theorists, whatever it is, the fact is that the World Trade Centers collapsed on 9/11. When that happened, I was prepared for it. The first thing that I did as I watched it unfold, and the story went, I was watching CNBC News, and this broadcaster said that it appears that a private plane struck the World Trade Centers. That was the first word. It was a bright, sunny September day. I've been flying from private planes, doing hot air ballooning. Nobody hits the World Trade Center by mistake. Private plane or not, I knew it was serious. As I'm watching it unfold and saw that second plane come, hit the building, the first thing I did, I picked up the phone and I called my girlfriend at the time, Marie-Pierre, wonderful French woman, lived up in Tivoli, a town north of Rhinebeck, New York, 2 hours north of New York City. I lived in Rhinebeck, she lived in Tivoli. And I told her what happened. I said, go to the bank, get all your money out. I'm watching what happened on TV, and I'm a New Yorker, as you may tell by my slight accent. And I know the Hudson River upside down. And right north of New York City is Indian Point Power Plant. And then the news comes on that they hit the Pentagon. I didn't know if they were going to hit the nuclear power plant. If they did, there would have been chaos like we've never seen before. The second thing I did, I'm ready to escape. That's the bottom line. I was going to Canada. It's 4 hours away. If chaos breaks out, I don't want to be around it. The second thing I did, I picked up the phone. I called Fleet Bank. Fleet Bank no longer exists. They were bought out by Bank of America. I had all my money and my company's money in CDs, certificates of deposit. I said I wanted them wired to the Rhinebeck Bank. I wanted to pick up my money, pick up my gold. I have my gun, and I'm getting out of here. So, of course, I didn't say that to the guy. He said, I'm sorry, Mr. Salenti, we cannot let you have your money. Wall Street is closed. CDs are traded on Wall Street. You can only get them when Wall Street reopens. I'm saying this so that people understand the urgency of having their hands on their cash if chaos happens. The next thing that happened is that she came over to my house. She had her money in Key Bank. Key Bank harassed her. They made fun of her for being French and the French not supporting America in the time of need. She had $30,000 in the bank. From a fund, an arts project that she was ahead of. Of course, her being French and her being Marie Pierre, she got her money out of the bank. I'm mentioning this story so that people take proactive measures now. It costs nothing. It costs nothing to be prepared at the highest level. When the banks close, the doors shut, the borders close, you're trapped, no way out. For me, I'd rather have my hands on my cash than make 3% in any bank.
Thank you very much, Gerald Simon. Wise words, and I think everyone here will take those to heart in light of the current times. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a real pleasure and an honor to talk to you today. And from one American to another, I salute you.
And even from a Brit to a New Yorker, I salute you as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.